All right, let's come to God's word this morning. We've been privileged, all those who are here this morning, we've been privileged. We've crossed over from 2018 and entered 2019. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's the grace of God. He has taken us through. Okay? And as we enter this new year, we've got to say, Lord, what are you saying to us this year? We want to hear a fresh word from the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you have for us in 2019? All right, and so we're going to look at that this morning. And I felt God laying on my heart from the book of Hebrews. If you could turn to Hebrews, and we'll quickly look at a few verses. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says this: we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Spirit distributed according to his will. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have taken us through 2018 and brought us into 2019. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who speaks, Lord. You're not a dead God, but you're alive and you speak into the hearts of every man and woman. Lord, would you speak into our hearts this morning as we hear your word? May your anointing be upon me. May your Holy Spirit guide me. May your Holy Spirit open our hearts and our spirits to receive the living word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 begins with a command. Okay, and the command is this. It says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. Okay, so what that word says there is, he says, therefore. And the question is, what is therefore referring to? Okay, he's referring to everything that has happened in chapter 1. Okay, so in chapter 1, it's one of the most rich chapters in the Bible. Okay, it's can we ask them to move and speak outside there, please? They're just disturbing us. Okay, chapter 1 is one of the richest chapters in the Bible that contains truths about who Jesus is. There are no commands in the chapter. There's nothing to do in chapter 1. The whole chapter is a declaration and celebration about Jesus. And we'll just quickly run through that and see what it says. So this is what chapter 1 tells us. This is what the therefore is, okay? So when the writer of the Hebrews says, therefore, we must pay more closer attention to what we have heard. He's now referring to the therefore in chapter 1. What is the therefore? Okay, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers, to the prophets, at many times and in various ways. So what the writer of Hebrews, he's writing to Jews, and he's saying, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers, to Abraham, to Moses, the prophets, Isaiah and Samuel and Jeremiah. He spoke to them at many times and in various ways. Sometimes he spoke, the cloud led them. Sometimes it was a voice. Sometimes it was angels. There were different ways God spoke to his people. He says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. Saying in the past, it was Moses and Jeremiah and an angel and other things, but in these last days, God has spoken by his son. Who is the son? And then the next 13, 14 verses tell us who this son is. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things. It says, an heir is the one who inherits everything. Elsewhere it says, Jesus created all things. All things were created by him and for him. Okay? And then it says, through whom he made the universe. So the Son, Jesus, is not only the inheritor, but he is the creator of everything that we see. Verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. It says, if we want to see what God is like, where do we look? We look at his Son, Jesus. He says, the Son is the radiance. You know, if you want to see the real S-U-N, the Son, we cannot see it, but we can see the rays that come from the Son. In the same way, when we look at Jesus, we see what God is like and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. This is one of the things Jesus does. He sustains the entire universe by his word. He's keeping things into being. Just think about it. The earth rotates around its axis. Revolves around its axis. The earth rotates around the sun. And everything is moving at high speeds. And who is supporting all these things? It is Jesus who's supporting the entire universe. Then it goes on to say, after he had provided purification for sins, you know, it's such an understatement. What does it mean he provided purification for sins? That means he came to this earth in the form of a man. He died a horrible death on the cross. He suffered for the sins of the world, for your sins and my sins, so that we wouldn't have to pay for our sins. Hallelujah. That's what it means. He provided purification for sins. And then he rose again from the dead because death could not hold him. And he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That's where Jesus is, at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's defeated death. He's defeated sin. He's brought salvation for all of us. He's purchased salvation by his blood. And that's who he is. And then he goes on to say, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. You see, the Jews held angels in awe. I said, wow, angels are powerful beings. We've seen that through scripture. They destroyed cities. They did all kinds of things. He says, but Jesus is superior to the angels. His name is much more superior to the angels. Okay, and then through the chapter, it goes on to say what Jesus has done. He says, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I've become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And it goes on to say in verse 6, he says, these angels who the Jews looked up to and knew were powerful beings, he's saying, they worship Jesus. Look at verse 6. He says, let all God's angels worship him. In speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. And in verse 8, he says, but about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. And righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Wow. He also says, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the work of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. You roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. So it's talking about the eternity of Jesus, his great power, his great might, and all that he has done, and how he is so much greater than any angel. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So the first chapter of Hebrews, the writer talks about the glories of Jesus. I want to just say to you, in your quiet time, go through this chapter. Meditate on each of these verses. Praise Jesus, because you will be filled with Jesus when you reflect upon all that he's done. So what does the writer say now? There's no command in chapter 1, just a declaration of who Jesus is. And he says, Jesus is God's final word. He's not a prophet. He's not an angel. He's not a holy man. He is God himself coming and speaking to us. And then what does he say? He says in verse chapter 2, verse 1, we must therefore pay more careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. So the first thing that he commands them is what? Listen. Turn to somebody and say, listen. Listen. So he's saying, listen. Jesus is so much more powerful than the angels. He is God's son, God's final word to mankind. So we need to listen. Not just listen casually. Okay? You know, how many have been on an aircraft? Yeah. You know that the air hostess comes up there and they give you these announcements about the seatbelt and the mask and all that. Do you listen? Do you listen? No. We say, ha, we've heard this before. Forget it. I'm not going to listen. You know, read the newspaper, do everything else. Okay? And so what God is saying here is, listen, listen. To this, he says, pay careful attention. Listen, because we need to listen, because if we don't listen, we will drift away. Okay? So so this is the word for the new year. Okay? It's not just listen. It says, pay heed, take heed. Pay careful attention. Listen to what the Son is saying, because there is a consequence of not listening. We can be so busy with our lives and all the plans we have for ourselves, our families, our work, our leisure, that we may not listen to what God is saying. And so he's saying, there is a consequence of not listening. And the picture here of drifting away, imagine a boat in a harbor. And that boat is not moored to the dock. It's not tied. What's going to happen when the tide comes in and the tide goes out? That boat will just slowly but surely drift away and be lost in the seas. So the writer of the Hebrews is giving them a warning. So it's not a casual, please listen. It's a warning. He says, if you don't listen, you will drift away. Okay, and it's not a question of an accident happening. It is of being careless or thoughtless and allowing ourselves to drift away. Now, two things. Who's being addressed here? I believe there are two groups of people being addressed. Number one, it's addressing people who are part of this church, but not yet put their faith in Jesus. Saying, listen, you're close to the docks, but unless you moor yourself and tie yourself to Jesus, you are going to drift away to destruction. Right? So one group of people is those who've been coming here. You've heard the word, but unless you listen and pay careful attention, and verse 3 speaks about this great salvation that is offered to us, there's destruction. We'll look at the destruction in a bit. Secondly, I believe he's also referring to those who have already put their faith in Jesus. You're saying, I've been baptized, I believe in Jesus, I trust him, I'm giving my tithes, I'm, you know, reading my Bible. But he's saying, listen, if you are not focused on Jesus and tied to that dock, you also can drift away. We have an example in the Bible of somebody called Demas. You heard of him? Demas was a fellow worker with the Apostle Paul. Philemon 1:24. Very quickly. Philemon 1:24 refers to Demas, our fellow worker. He was working, and it is more Philemon, not Philippians. And he was a fellow worker with nobody less than the Apostle Paul. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Wow. He was with Paul's group. Look at In Colossians, it says, Demas and Luke send greetings. Okay, I don't have the reference. Okay, but you know what? This man who was a fellow worker with Paul, who was with Dr. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke. Wow, great. What happened to him? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 says this: for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Here was somebody who was so close to the Apostle Paul, a fellow worker, working with Dr. Luke and Paul and Aristarchus. But because he did not listen, because he did not moor himself to Christ, anchor himself to Jesus, he drifted away to destruction. And it says here, he has deserted me because he loved the world. The question is, are we people who are loving the world and not listening to Jesus? And there is a great danger there of that happening to believers. Now, we won't lose our salvation. If we are true believers, we'll never lose our salvation. But we will make shipwreck of our faith. And that is deadly and dangerous. Okay, so what is he saying here in verse 2? He says, do not drift away. Now he's saying, why? Why should we listen? Why should we pay attention? And this is what he says. For if the message spoken by, verse 2 of chapter, Hebrews chapter 2, for if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. He's saying, you know, in the Old Testament, the angels spoke. The prophets spoke, the word of God. He says, but, you know, although they spoke, every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. He says, nobody got away when they broke the Old Testament law. He says, if when the angels and the prophets gave a command and it was broken and people didn't get away, do you think you will get away if the Son has spoken? No. Okay? So that's what he's saying. So he's arguing from the lesser to the greater. Okay. So we don't have time to get into this, but I'll just throw some scriptures to you. You can see that why is he referring to angels? Because, you know, when the Ten Commandments were given, angels were involved. Just take down this verse, Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. But we look at Acts 7, verse 38. Acts chapter 7, verse 38. So he's saying angels were involved. He says, then he gave Abraham, this is Stephen speaking, the covenant of circumcision and so forth. Is it later? Acts 7, verse 38. 38. Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. Yeah, 38 is... He was in the assembly in the desert, this is Moses, with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, and he received living words to pass on to us. So the Jews knew that the Ten Commandments and all the laws came from God through angels, all right? And he's saying if every violation of the law was punished when the angels gave it, how much more when the Son speaks? Okay, we'll look at a couple of verses. Look at Leviticus 24, verse 14. Just one example of the Old Testament. He says the Old Testament law was so strict. In Leviticus 24, verse 14, it speaks about somebody. He says, take the blasphemer outside the camp. Somebody spoke against God, and that's a blasphemer. It's all those who heard him are to lay their hands on his head, and the entire assembly is to stone him. Say to the Israelites, if anyone curses his God, he will be held responsible. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. All right? So in the Old Testament, the law was so strict. You did something, we were punished. Okay. So really what this is, we're back to Hebrews again. And really what the writer of the Hebrews is saying is in the Old Testament, every infraction of the law, it speaks about disobedience and it speaks about violation. It means two things. One is an act of commission and the other is an act of omission. Okay, violation is doing something you're not supposed to do. Disobedience is not doing what you're supposed to do. All right. So the point here is this. Now, Hebrews is writing to New Testament Christians. He's not writing to the Old Testament. Okay, and he's saying, listen, there is a consequence. Okay, now remember, if we are believers, our salvation is secure. So it's not talking about salvation. But we can miss out on the great blessings of God and all that God has in store for us. Okay, let me give you an example. For example, if a Christian, a believer, decides he's going to He's addicted to alcohol or drugs and he's not going to give up. What's going to happen? Okay? He's going to destroy his body. It's going to be miserable. And, you know, that's what's going to happen. He's going to miss out on all that God is in store for him on earth. So we've got to take this warning seriously, okay? And what it says there is, we have a great, great salvation. Now, how do we pay careful attention? This is what we need to do. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. How do we pay attention? Fix our thoughts on Jesus. That means we need to say, Jesus, I want to, you know, I gave you Hebrews 1. We need to meditate and think about who Jesus is, what he has done. See, the greatest thing is Jesus. Okay? We've got to think about Jesus, who he is, what he has done. We must think about what does he say? What does he say about different things in life? We find that in the words of the Bible. Okay? How does he view the world? For example, how does he view what we are doing or what we are not doing? We've got to ask ourselves, would Jesus do what I'm doing today? Would Jesus, you know, how would he respond to different situations? And that's what it means to fix your thoughts on Jesus. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Okay? So not only our thoughts, our eyes on Jesus. If we want to change in this new year, this is the strategy. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul is writing, and he says this, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect or contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So what Paul is saying is, as we look upon the glory of Jesus, we are being transformed into his likeness. For example, maybe you're proud. How do we deal with that pride? You know, one of the things I'm struggling with, I say things I shouldn't say. I say them with anger. I say them with pride. And I'm saying, Lord, how do I change? I know I need to change. It's wrong. Well, the solution is this. Look at Jesus. It says, Jesus is meek and humble of heart. And as I meditate upon that, his spirit will transform and change me. Okay? So take that to whatever situation in your life that needs changing. Jesus is perfection. Colossians says that all the treasures, Colossians chapter 2 verse 3 says, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. Colossians 2:9 says, in Christ the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So as we go through the Gospels, as we go through the Bible, and we just meditate on who Jesus is, there will be a transformation in our lives. How can we fix our eyes and thoughts on Jesus? I'll give you a few tips. Number one is, make sure that every day you're having your breakfast. Did you have your breakfast today? Yesterday. Make sure you're having your spiritual breakfast. Okay, don't let a day go by when you're not reading the word. Remember, he says, pay careful attention. Listen. So we got to make sure we are reading the word daily. You know, today we live in the electronic age where you have apps. Have you heard of YouVersion? It's a wonderful program. If you don't have it, download it. Get hold of it. You can have Bible plans. You can read. You can highlight. You can share your readings with others. You know, and it's wonderful. Okay, but make sure we are feeding on God's word daily. Make sure you're praying daily. All right? So we've got things. We'll share prayer requests, but you're going to God each day in prayer. Psalm 90, verse 14 says, satisfy us in the morning with unfailing love. with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make sure you're having a daily time with God. Every week we upload the worship, the Sunday worship there. You know, download it on your phone. Listen to it when you're going to work. Listen to other Christian songs. Let your heart be filled with joy. Okay? Then, get a journal. Get a book. And in that book, you're writing what God is speaking to you. It's important. Write it down. Okay? Every day you're writing one verse, two verses. Write down some reflection. Think about it. Because it's not an angel speaking. It's not a prophet speaking. It is God Himself speaking. Write that down. And I tell you, as you do these exercises, there will be transformation. You'll be able to overcome sins in your life. And your heart will change. Listen to messages. Another thing to do. Okay? Listen to messages. Today, with YouTube, there are thousands, maybe millions of messages available. Good preachers. You know, go to Bill Johnson, Chris Valentin, Christine Kane, Joyce Meyer, T.D. Jakes, John Piper. There's so much. Feed yourself with God's Word. Build yourself up. Okay? And then, very important, make sure you have friends in this community. Because it's not me and God on my own. It's we are one family. We are together. Do you have somebody here who can challenge you and say, hey, you know, Christine or Lasia or somebody, you know, what's happening in your life? I don't think this is right. Do you have somebody who will speak into your life? A brother or a sister who will be able to challenge you? Because you could be drifting away. Okay? Don't be so proud that you won't let anybody speak into your life because see what happened to Demas. But see, you know, but make friends in this body because we have a great salvation. It's not an ordinary thing, a great salvation. So as we enter this year, and the last thing I want to share is this. We want to see another dimension in our lives. And in Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about this salvation. He says, verse 3, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? Warning there. He says, this salvation which was first announced by the Lord was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. And this is verse 4 is what I want to focus on. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Spirit distributed according to His will. As we pay heed to God, as we focus on the Word, prayer, and do all these things, it says there that one of the things that happened is that God testified to this great salvation by signs, wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to see signs and wonders this year? I do. We want to see mighty miracles taking place, mighty healings, great things happening. We can't do anything. It's Him. But we can make ourselves available and say, Lord, use me. Use me. Cancer's healed. Heart conditions healed. Supernatural healing. Instant healing. And the Bible says that, you know, as we proclaim the Word, this is what happened. God testified to this great salvation by confirming it. We can't do a thing. But we can proclaim the Word. We can tell people about Jesus. And we can pray and expect signs, wonders, and various miracles. So this, the Word, Andrew brought a word and others added to that this morning about turning back to Jesus. I'm praying that 2019 will be a year when if you have drifted away, you're waking up and saying, hey, I've drifted away. I want to anchor myself to Jesus. I have a great salvation. I don't want to make shipwreck of my faith. Okay? Remember, you are responsible for your life. Not your husband, not your wife, not your father, your mother, your children. You have to take that decision. And say, I don't, you know, as It was Joshua who said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So you're saying, I am going to follow Jesus. I'm going to make him first. We are privileged. We are seeing 2019. You know, we don't know about 2020. But while we are alive and kicking on this earth, let's pay careful attention. Let's listen to Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. Shall we stand and pray together? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great salvation, forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting with you. Wow, what a blessing, Lord. Lord, I pray for us this morning that by your Spirit, Lord, you would help us to pay heed to your word. Lord, for anybody who has drifted away, I pray that you would bring them back to anchor into you. If this morning you feel that you've drifted away in 2018 and you're saying, Lord, I'm running back to you, would you like to put your hand up? We're going to pray specially for you. All right? Just put your hand right up. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You're coming back to God. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for each one who's put their hands up, Lord. I thank you that you are a God of restoration. You are a God of first and second and third chances, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just pray that they would anchor themselves firmly to you, Lord Jesus. You are the anchor of our souls. I pray you would build us up in the faith that we would live for your glory. Lord, I pray for word of grace that we would see great signs, wonders, various miracles and gifts of the Spirit in our midst, that you would use us for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.